Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Well, this is it. Slichus starts tomorrow night, and we count down the days till the new year on Wednesday. Question still remains, are you ready? Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Parsha this week is Nitzavim Vayelech, a double parsha to be sure that the Torah concludes on Simchas Torah, as it always does every year. This week we learn about the unity of Israel. It says, you stand today, all of you, before the Lord your God, your heads, your tribes, your elders, your officers, every Israelite man, your young ones, your wives, a stranger in your gate, from your wood hewer to your water drawer. That just about covers it. And we also learn that unlike many other faiths, God gave us the Torah not in heaven, but very close to you, so that you may do all the commandments that God asks of you. He never asks us to do something that we can't do. And here in this parsha, we also learn about the freedom of choice, the famous statement, I've set before you life and goodness and death and evil, and that I command you this day to love God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments. Life and death have I set before you, blessing and curse, and you shall choose life. Finally, in Vayelech, we learn about the last days of Moses and the transference of the mantle of leadership to Yehoshua, or Joshua. And speaking of leadership, our staff is ready to lead you to the next hour with the best in Jewish radio. The musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Miss Deborah DeLynn reporting from Israel. So that's exciting. Sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio coming up in the half hour. Special guest today is Ms. Gloria Muscat, a local expert on the very important mitzvah of Shatnitz, a commandment in the Torah that's a decree. We're not sure why, but we have to do it because God tells us to do it. That's the prohibited mixing of wool and linen in garments. And you want to be sure your suits and skirts and so forth are ready for Rosh Hashanah. Stay tuned. And if you haven't sponsored a segment yet, please step up and do so now. We want to continue to bring you the best and only authentic Jewish radio in Pittsburgh, but we must have your support. If everyone helps a little, nobody has to help a lot. Call us and get the mitzvah today and be ready for the high holidays. 412-979-5770 or jewishexperience@verizon.net. You can consider sponsoring your favorite segment, Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah Lesson, and his popular story segment is now available for sponsorship, community news and announcements, popular feminine perspective, and Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is also available, so you can give us a call and reserve your spot. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by Musical Moishi and Artistic Photography. And we still have a few refrigerator magnets left. That's yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770, or you can send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is now down to 7:24 p.m.
Oh, my, 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 oh Akiva, Ashtekhem Mitro.
Now, with an insight on this week's Parsha is our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
On Rosh Hashanah, the theme is to accept Hashem as our King. We pledge to Hashem that we will be His loyal subjects. The question is asked, when a people want to accept someone as their King, when they want to arouse in that person a desire to be the king, they have to give themselves over to the king totally. How is it then, on Rosh Hashanah, when we stand and we say our prayers, that we ask Hashem for seemingly personal needs. We ask Hashem for good health, for parnasa, for a livelihood, and so on and so forth. Isn't this seemingly contradictory to the central theme of Rosh Hashanah, which is the total acceptance of Hashem as our King and our giving ourselves over to Hashem? On this day, shouldn't our total focus be on Hashem? And here we see that our sages have decreed that part of the prayers of Rosh Hashanah should be our petition to Hashem for our needs. The answer is, we are asking Hashem for all of these needs, not for personal reasons, but because we want to be Hashem's loyal subjects. We want to make this world a dwelling place for Hashem. How are we able to do this? If a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is not well, then this limits his ability to be able to speak with other people, to speak to them about godliness, to go out and influence and teach other people. If a person is lacking of funds, then he's not able to give as much charity as he would like, and it's necessary also to spend money for the education of our children. In other words, on Rosh Hashanah, when we ask Hashem for our needs in the Shemona Esrei, we are not doing it for personal reasons. Rather, we are doing it to ask Hashem to be His loyal subjects and to give us everything that we need to be able to accomplish this and make this world a dwelling place for Hashem.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947. and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience,
Amen.
it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
One of the highlights of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur services is the recital of Unesane Tokef, which describes the process of heavenly judgment in stark, chilling terms. The prayer was composed by the 10th century sage Rabbi Amnon and has a remarkable story behind it, one which offers a picture of the power of Christianity at that time. Rabbi Amnon, who lived in Mainz, Germany, was a close confidant of the ruler. After repeated entreaties to adopt the Christian religion, Rabbi Amnon, in order to distance himself from the duke, told him that he would give the duke a reply in 3 days. Upon leaving the duke, Rabbi Amnon felt extremely distraught that he gave even an impression of renouncing Judaism. Instead of returning to the court, Rabbi Amnon spent 3 days in fasting and prayer, not appearing at the appointed time. Enraged, the duke ordered that if Rabbi Amnon refused to convert, his arms and legs be cut off one by one. Rosh Hashanah was approaching, and the crippled and dying Rabbi Amnon asked to be taken to the synagogue. During the Musaf service, he asked the chazan to wait while he composed the Unesane Tokef. Upon concluding, he returned his pure soul to his Creator. Shortly afterward, Rabbi Amnon appeared in a dream to one of his disciples and requested that the prayer be disseminated throughout the Jewish world. Since that time, Unesane Tokef has become universally accepted. Another Ashkenazic poet, Rabbi Shimon HaGadol, also lived in 10th century Mainz. One of his compositions for the second day of Rosh Hashanah contains the words, Kael Hanan Nachlaso. Legend describes a fascinating story to these words. Rabbi Shimon's young child Elchanan was kidnapped by the church and brought up as a Christian. Rising higher and higher in the church hierarchy, he reached the level of pope. The new pope then enacted a decree of expulsion against the Jews, which Rabbi Shimon, as the leading Jewish spokesman, attempted to forestall. While meeting the pope, the two became involved in a game of chess. When the pope made a move in a certain position, Rabbi Shimon exclaimed that he once taught that move to his long-lost son. As the conversation continued, Rabbi Shimon realized that the pope was his son, Elchanan. Father and son were tearfully reunited, and the pope disappeared and rejoined the Jewish people. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a very happy and healthy Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
A ministerial committee led by Vice Premier Chaim Ramon is scheduled to meet on Sunday to discuss communities beyond the 1949 ceasefire lines that have not yet received government authorization. Ramon has said that at least 26 of the communities should be destroyed immediately. The Yesha Council, representing the Jews of Judea and Samaria, has been carrying out a series of meetings with defense ministry officials in an attempt to gain authorization for at least some of the communities. The Organization for Human Rights in Judea and Samaria has filed a 2 million shekel suit against the commander of the police's Yassam Special Reconnaissance Unit for allegedly violently attacking a disabled man at the Kisufim Junction at the edge of Gaza 2 years ago. During the heated protests against the uprooting of Gaza Jews, Benny Rachmin, a resident of Gush Katif with a 65% disability due to a bad leg, came to the checkpoint at Kisufim in order to pick up his daughter. Police told him to cross the road quickly and he began doing so, but proceeded slowly and with an obvious limp because of his disability. According to the lawsuit, Major Shai Badash then pounced on Rachmin and punched him in the face, Rachmin falling to the ground bleeding, his glasses broken, and his shoes had slipped off his feet. Badash then handcuffed him and dragged him into the local police station while threatening to break his bones, according to the suit. Rachmin was arrested and was only released the next day, injured and humiliated without shoes or a kippah. Gaza terrorists firing 2 mortar shells at Kerem Shalom on Israel's border with Gaza and Egypt Friday morning. No casualties were reported, but a house was damaged, according to the spokesman of the Israel Defense Forces. Soldiers escaping injury Thursday night when terrorists set off an explosive device while the troops were patrolling in the area of Bethlehem, south of Jerusalem, and adjacent to the Gush Etzion town of Efrat. During the night, soldiers arresting 9 wanted terrorists in Hebron, Kalkilya, Ramallah, Shechem, and Bethlehem. The Fatah-led PLO is paying its security forces to train Hamas terrorists in Gaza, according to WorldNet Daily. The United States has given the PLO more than $86 million to train and back Fatah forces to enable them to defeat Hamas in the event of another outbreak of violence between the two rival factions. However, recent reports have revealed efforts by Hamas and Fatah to secretly negotiate an end to their dispute. WorldNet Daily quoting Hamas sources that the police training program is taking place under the auspices of Fatah officers who are paid by the PLO because they are publicly listed as members of the ruling party, although their allegiance is to Hamas. American Middle East military envoy Keith Dayton is overseeing a program to train Fatah forces in the Dead Sea area resort of Jericho. Hamas's executive force carrying out mass arrests of Fatah members on Thursday after Fatah leaders in Judea and Samaria called for the group to hold large public prayer gatherings on Friday morning in defiance of a Hamas ban. A Hamas spokesman told journalists that the Fatah terrorists were arrested because they were planning to create anarchy in Gaza on order of Fatah in Ramallah, north of Jerusalem. The spokesman accused Fatah of being behind several recent explosions in Gaza. He confirmed Hamas's commitment to prohibit public prayers on Friday and said that no group would be allowed to gather without the permission of Hamas in Gaza City. Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni says that if there is to be an agreement between the PLO and Israel, it will be submitted for approval by the Knesset. She added that Israel's policies will distinguish between Hamas-held Gaza and Fatah-held Judea and Samaria, the foreign minister maintaining that the Fatah-led PLO based in Ramallah is, in her words, a new legitimate government that accepts the terms of the international community. She also promised that the implementation of any agreement will be, in her words, subject to and conditional upon the other side's ability to implement those points. Likud leader Benjamin Netanyahu and Moshe Feiglin, head of the rival Jewish leadership faction in the party, have shaken hands at an official Rosh Hashanah gathering following unpleasant incidents between their supporters. At one point, a Netanyahu supporter attempted to fight with Feiglin but was pushed aside by a Netanyahu aide, and other Netanyahu aides said that they would like to avoid animosity in the future. What must be done against the Muslim destruction of Jewish antiquities on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem? Foremost Israeli archaeologist Elat Mazar talks about the question with Yishai and Malka Fleischer on demand on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Kaf Hei of the 25th of Elul on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, clear to partly cloudy and slightly warmer with a high wave warning at Mediterranean beaches on Friday. Temperatures coming back down on Shabbat with a chance of very light rain in the north and center of the country until Sunday morning. Monday, clear to partly cloudy and slightly warmer. In Jerusalem on Friday, a high temperature of 28 degrees centigrade, 82 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
That was a look at Jerusalem weather. And now, for your local weather, here's meteorologist Glenn Foxen.
There will be a chance of showers and thunderstorms this Shabbos into Sunday as a cold front tries to move through the area and become stationary. Weak disturbances will form and move along the stalled frontal boundary, resulting in cloudy weather with on-and-off showers and thunderstorms in and around southwest Pennsylvania. Temperatures will be on the warm side, rising into the 80s on Saturday and again on Sunday. Nighttime lows dropping into the mid-60s. The average high temperature for this time of year is in the upper 70s. The computer models show little movement of the front through Tuesday, so expect a continuation of cloudy skies with an occasional shower. To date, we are averaging slightly above normal for the year in total rainfall. Finally, later next week, a stronger cold front will push through the area, clearing skies and providing cooler and drier weather. This is meteorologist Glenn Foxen wishing everyone good weather and great times this Shabbos.
And may you have a happy and healthy, sweet new year to you and yours.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Some interesting Mazel Tovs for you this week. The Chabad of the South Hills gets a big Mazel Tov for dedicating a new Sefer Torah this past week. And Mazel Tov to the Congregation Shari Torah for finally completing their long-awaited new sanctuary renovation just in time for Rosh Hashanah. And, of course, Richard and Marcia Walters on the birth of a grandson, Mazel Tov. Irene Berkowitz, Marcia Walters' mother, on the birth of a great-grandson. Bill and Gail Hoffman on the bas mitzvah of a granddaughter, and Abby and Judy Mendelson on the birth of a grandson. Misha and Miriam Gelman on the birth of a boy, and Yosef and Ronit Neer on the birth of a boy, and Fran Newman on the birth of a great-grandson. A Let's take a look around the community. Shabbat of the South Hills has beautiful Rosh Hashanah bags available for sale. These bags can be used as gifts for loved ones, friends, corporate gifts, or just buy one for yourself. You can go to ChabadSH.com, ChabadSH.com for more information and to order. Young Israel is proud to offer fruit baskets to the whole community for the second straight year. Fruit baskets will include a Shehecheyanu fruit and jam and honey from Israel. You can get more information and can order by contacting Robin Nee at 412-422-2131 or robinnee@yahoo.com. The meeting of Food Addicts of Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. Not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Elon at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, please call us at 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Remember, candlelighting time this week, 7:24 p.m. We've got an interesting twist for you this afternoon on the Jewish Experience radio program. Ms. Gloria Muscat is with us, and she is the one of the local experts in Shatnez, which is a mitzvah in the Torah that's given to us. It's a what we call a decree. It's something that it's hard to understand. In fact, most of us can't understand it, but it's something that God asks us to do, and it concerns itself with the mixing of wool and linen. Gloria, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And, you know, you have been involved in testing for Shatnez, and what, first of all, what is the concept of Shatnez, and where does it occur, and where do you find it?
Okay. In the Bible, it is written twice. Cain raised sheep for a living,
mm-hmm.
and Abel raised crops like linen.
Right.
And because the Almighty preferred one's offering over the other ones, it led to the first sibling murder
right.
in recorded history that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
But that might not be the reason. We really do not know the reason why wool and linen cannot be mingled in the same garment at the same time. Both are superior fabrics. They both have strength and special characteristics that make them very precious and valuable. Just not in the same garment.
Okay.
National Geographic magazine, May 88, has a story about Shatnez in an article it did on wool. And it shows a picture of Joseph Rosenberger from the Williamsburg Shatnez Laboratory testing a garment for Shatnez. I studied under him when my daughter was a baby
mm-hmm.
because the Shatnez tester at that time moved away to Cleveland.
Okay.
And I had the privilege of testing many garments and find it, for me at least, a very rewarding exercise to accomplish.
Okay, so it's something that's prohibited, and we're not sure why, but we have to be careful not to mix these two.
That's right.
All right, so what type of garments do we check for Shatnez? What are typical?
Men's suits, jackets, coats, ladies' skirts, blouses, sweaters, children's coats. My own daughter had a picture collar on a winter coat, and the inside was full of Shatnez that had to be removed.
Hmm.
Now, I can remove it in most cases and sew up the garment, and it looks like it was brand new. That was never touched.
Okay. When you talk about suits and dresses, is there certain places that occurs?
There's many places that have to be checked. Lapels, collars, buttonholes, buttons, seams. And the main fabric itself.
So it's only like, it sounds like, where things come together.
Exactly, for strengthening and adding stiffness and strength to the garment.
Okay, so on a front of a jacket where there's no pocket or something, you wouldn't
yes,
check?
Yes, you do, because they put in a bonding and binding fabrics to give it extra durability and strength.
Okay.
And that has to be checked, too.
All right, so tell us how the testing process works. Somebody brings you a garment and says, please check this for Shatnez. What do you do?
I have to open up the jacket and garment, look underneath the lining at about 10 different places, and I take a snip of thread and I send this to the laboratory that was established by Rabbi Rosenberger, who I just mentioned before, National Geographic,
okay.
and he will send a confirmation notice to the person whose garment I checked. But most of the time, I could tell right away whether it had anything.
What does it look like?
Wool has a microscopic structure like human hair. It stretches and bends and has like a cuticle. Little spaces inside that can hold perspiration and warmth and air. Linen is like steel. It's very straight and long, and it almost looks metallic under a microscope.
Okay. So it's easy. So you have to look at this under a microscope to really see.
Right, a lens.
Okay. So let's say they find out that there's a shot that's in this particular fiber you sent back. Does that mean that that every place in the garment there's going to be?
No, different locations in the garment are made of different fibers and fabrics. And unless it's in the main part of the main body of the garment, if it's in these other places, most of the time it can be removed.
Uh-huh. And you can see it enough to remove it.
Right.
Okay.
Enough to remove it, and then the garment can be fixed and worn. Nobody would ever know that it has shotness in it.
So what percentage would you say, just from your experience, of the suits that are bought off the rack here in Pittsburgh could have a problem with shotness?
Okay. Because we live in the day and age of many synthetic fibers, the percentage is going down quite a bit.
Okay. All right. So this is really in wool suits, really what people would call it, or wool blends, or...
Right.
Okay.
Sometimes a woolen skirt will have linen applique designs on it, flowers and embellishments, and those are the things where you might find the shotness.
I see. Okay. So is there a charge for this service?
Minimal.
Okay. Is this charged by you or by the laboratory or by both?
Well, both. By both. Yes.
By both. Okay. But it's something reasonable people can afford?
Yes, definitely reasonable and affordable.
Okay, and how can people learn more about this if they want to really find out more about it? Do you conduct any classes? Do you have any educational programs?
I show people literature that I have on this subject,
uh-huh.
And it is written up in many Torah books.
Okay, and besides yourself, is there any others in Pittsburgh that do this service as well?
There is a gentleman named Mr. Rabbi Barokas, I believe. That.
Okay, so you say it's you and him and...
That's it.
Okay. And would you say the business is brisk, or is it comes and goes? Or
And now, before Rosh Hashanah, mm-hmm. Around Pesach time, it's extra busy.
Okay.
People go back to colleges, universities, and schools. Business picks up.
Okay. So it's really to get ready for some event that's coming. People normally would come in and check it.
Right. Weddings, bar mitzvahs, things like that.
Now, once a garment is checked and it's clean and it's shot and it's free, can it get it again?
No.
Okay. So no. Not like catching something.
Sometimes if it's altered by a tailor,
uh-huh.
or a seamstress,
uh-huh.
then you have to be careful if they don't contaminate it.
Very good. Okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't talked about?
No, I find, for me, it's very rewarding to do this. I'm very happy that I can help promote Torah values and hope that other people will share Torah values with me.
Great. And if they want to get in touch with you, how would they do it?
412-421-6670. That's the number that you just called.
Okay.
And that's the best way.
You want to give that one more time?
412-421-6670.
Okay, Gloria Muscat. Very interesting, very ancient mitzvah that is actually a Torah mitzvah. It's not a rabbinic mitzvah, is that correct?
It's a Torah mitzvah. It's in the Torah twice.
That's right. So it's something that's...
In Yikra and in Devarim.
Very good. So it's something that's important for everybody to know and be very careful about. We thank you very much for being with us this afternoon on The Jewish Experience. Have a great Shabbos.
Thank you.
Moshe Papar. You have an idea for selections on a future show, you can email me, Moshe Pekar, at keyplayer@hotmail.com, and we'll try and do it.
Now for a look at the feminine side of things, reporting from Israel, here's Miss Devorah Delin.
One of the hardest jobs a person can do is to try to be a leader. Whether it's within a country, community, or even a classroom, a leader has to be competent, available, and above all, hard-skinned. A leader can't please anyone, must be at the beck and call of all his constituents, and in addition, he is constantly in the public eye. A lot of work, discipline, and sensitivity is required to be a good leader. In this week's Torah portion, Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech, we read about another gathering of the Jewish people. Jewish leaders throughout the ages have kept this practice of gathering the people in order to create and maintain a level of unity and solidarity, Avas Yisrael. The Pasuk uses the words, Rashechem Shivtechem, your heads and your tribes, basically all the people of Bnei Yisrael. It first commands them to gather in general, in an all-encompassing form, and in the next Pasuk, it specifies each person. The Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, elaborates on the word Rashechem. exactly what constitutes a leader according to the Torah. He says that a person is born a leader. It's an inner trait that attracts people to him. But it's more than charisma. A leader is called Rosh, a head. The function of the head, as a dwelling place for the brain, is to command the body. As a proverb says, Malach Shalit al Halev, the brain rules over the heart. As such, a leader must be one who is capable of harnessing his own emotional influences and direct his people with logic to carry out the decisions he knows are necessary. Sometimes, he even needs to guide the emotions of his constituents to make sure that they carry out the correct actions. The Ramban brings an opinion that says that just as Nevuah encourages a Navi, a prophecy is what encourages a prophet, a leader must encourage his people to follow the correct path, which is not always an easy task. But the Sukkim go on to specify who must answer the call to gather. Nishechem, your women, are among those listed. Ramban says it's because women's opinions are more prone to fluctuate. They change all the time. They were specifically listed because they needed to be there to give their strong commitment to Torah and Judaism. Remember, they are raising the next generation of Jewish people. Their commitment to who and what they are must be so strong and sure. On Rosh Hashanah, it is customary to eat the head of a fish, so that the year will be Yiyeh Kirosh Velo Lezanav, to be as a head and not a tail. Before one stands before Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, one must be sure of his faith and belief, so that he must feel confident in his position as a Rosh, as a leader. May it be soon, God willing, that we accept upon us not just the mantle of leadership, but also the leadership of Mashiach. Have a good Shabbat.
Now it's time for another classic story from our master storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
There was a certain town in Europe where the post for rabbi became vacant. There were two factions in the town, and each one of these factions desired that a member from their group should be the rabbi. The shul decided that on one Shabbos they would have one group present their candidate and he would officiate as the rabbi. He would give the speech. He would learn Torah with the people. On the second week, a person from the second group would officiate as the rabbi. After these 2 weeks, the members of the shul would decide which one of the two people they felt was most fit for the position of their rabbi. On the first week, a member of the first group acted as the rabbi, and the second week came along, and it was time for a member of the second group to act as the rabbi. Early in the week, the people sent a telegram to their Rebbe who lived in a nearby town. He was a prestigious man, and they felt that if he would come to the town on the Shabbos when the member of their group was officiating, this would give great importance to their side. The Rebbe received the telegram and agreed to come. On Thursday evening, the Rebbe arrived in town, and he asked the people, "Tell me, how did the person from the other group do the previous Shabbos?" The people began laughing with joy, and they said that when he spoke, it was very uninteresting. He did not have a very good delivery. And they were certain that their side was going to win. In fact, they could actually drink a l'chaim to celebrate the victory. The Rebbe listened without saying anything. That Shabbos, a member of their group officiated as the rabbi. He spoke very well. And what he said was very interesting. After Havdalah on Motzoi Shabbos, the Rebbe turned to his followers and asked them once again, "Tell me, what do you think will occur?" Once again, his followers told him that there's no question in their mind that certainly they were going to be victorious. At this point, the Rebbe turned to them and said, "Let me tell you something. I guarantee that it is the member from their side who is going to be elected as the rabbi. On Thursday night when I arrived, and you told me that the other person did not give a good presentation, and you were so joyous that he failed to make a good impression, I knew right there and then that we were going to lose. You see, whenever you are joyous because of someone else's failure, this is a very serious thing in Hashem's eyes. And I knew right then and there we were going to lose. I actually could have gotten back on the train and returned home for Shabbos, but I did not want to ruin your Shabbos. But believe me, a member from their side will become the rabbi." Just as the rabbi spoke, so it was. A member from the other side was chosen to be the Rav. The lesson for us before Rosh Hashanah is that we always must be sensitive to others' needs. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a Lashana Tova Umasuka, a good and sweet year, and a good Shabbos.
So we come to the close of yet another exciting edition of the Jewish Experience radio program. We'd like to thank Mrs. Gloria Muscat, one of our local Shatnitz experts, revealing what many do not know about the important mitzvah of Shatnitz, and of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Schumann, Miss Deborah Lynn reporting from Israel, and our engineer, General Bossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 7:24 p.m. It's been a lot of fun, but I do have to run. I'm Hirsch DeLynn. We'll not be on next week since it'll be Rosh Hashanah. I want to personally wish all of our listeners a very healthy and sweet year, a year that will bring you all you need and desire to serve God, to help yourself and your family and others. And may you now have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. See you all in 2 weeks. Same Yiddish time, same Yiddish channel.
Shalom. Shabbat. Malachi Elyon, Malachi.